Lu. Lu.
Good
Hello.
afternoon. Brother Devon, how are you?
Good afternoon. Dude,
I'm blessed
favor.
right with you, my friend. Right with you. It's so good to hear you say that. Praise the Lord. And we also have Sister Miosha here. Did you just join Miosha?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful. That's funny. Miosha is actually at the house, Devon. She's in the house with me. Right? Me, her, and my wife. And else she just joined in by phone. Bless her heart. Right?
That's good.
We praise the Lord. Sister Jackie, how are you?
Hey.
Hey. How are you doing?
Hey.
Let me mute this TV. Okay. All right.
Yep. Yep. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm good. Thank you. I feel good. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. I assume Sister Tony will be joining us soon.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. Is
yeah.
she okay?
Yeah, she's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She's working
sure
on her Easter dinner.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah. Yeah, she don't want to stop. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about that for a minute. What is Easter? Anybody know?
That's the holiday. We use it as a holiday to celebrate the rising of our Father from the grave.
Amen. The resurrection day.
The resurrection of Jesus.
So it's a resurrection day, yes.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hello, for a minute. I want to show you all this. You'll love it. So I was doing some research on it, and I have researched it before, but I wanted to, I really wanted to kind of make sure we get this right. Let's see, is Easter in the Bible?
Yeah, I'd like to get the answer to that question down in my spirit.
We're going to get it. It's in Acts, the 12th chapter and the 4th verse. Acts the 12th chapter, the 4th verse.
Acts the 12th chapter and the 4th verse?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I think, Jackie, you really nailed it when you said it's the day that we celebrate the resurrection of the Savior, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what Easter, at least, it's really Resurrection Day. And believe it or not, the word Easter was not in the original Greek or Hebrew scriptures. They added that word. The word that they were really using back then was before Passover. Right? You'll see it in here in the 12th chapter. Because to celebrate Easter, many theologians believe that Easter was actually a pagan holiday that came from that was sort of kind of flowing out of Nimrod's wife. Nimrod was the grandson of Cain, right? He was the first one to become a mighty man. He built Babylon. Nimrod did. Built Babylon. He considered himself a god, and he considered his wife a goddess. right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And so she was called Eoster was her name. And mm-hmm. and so when Nimrod died, and Nimrod was actually killed by his mm-hmm. uncle Shem, so the three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth of Noah, Shem,
uh-huh.
Nimrod was so far away from doing what God wanted him to do, his uncle came and took him out.
Right?
Mm. So when he died, his wife ended up having a baby after he died, right? She was supposed to be committed to the kingdom and to him for life. And she ended up having a baby after he died, and they say, you know, some of the theologians, the people that have studied this, said it was by somebody in the somebody that was some kin to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she told everybody it was immaculate conception because mm-hmm. her husband Nimrod was the sun god and she was the moon goddess. So
mm-hmm.
so she said it was an immaculate mm-hmm. conception. It was her husband in the spirit that impregnated her, and she said everybody should celebrate this baby. And they developed Easter from there. And she asked that they celebrate the baby by bringing eggs, which represented souls, right? And
yes.
because it was the first of the, because it was the season of spring, so mm-hmm. rabbits represent spring. They represent
mm-hmm.
growth. They represent that particular season. So they connected mm-hmm. those two things up. And they and most theologians believe that they named Easter after her because the name sort of, you know, it sort of morphed a little bit from Eoster to Easter. And now let's read this. Ready?
Yes.
Acts the 12th chapter. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain people of the church. He was vexing. He wanted to destroy them. Verse 2. And he killed James, one of the apostles, the brother of John, with the sword. Mm-hmm. Right? Remember James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee, right? The ones who petitioned Jesus Christ and said, one of us needs to sit on the left and the other one on the right when you get to your kingdom, when you get to the mm-hmm. throne, right? So he killed his brother, right? And because he saw it please, verse 3, and because he saw it please the Jews, the religious people of that time, they were pleased by seeing him killed because they didn't want this new movement to take place. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, watch this, and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers, right, to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody read it? Did you read it?
Mm-hmm.
Intending after Easter, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to kill him after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter, mm-hmm. at this particular junction, right, when you do your a little bit of research on it, Herod is still in office. So this mm-hmm. is about 34 A.D., about a year or so after Christ has been crucified. So it certainly could not have been made a national holiday because they were persecuting Christians.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
And so Easter doesn't necessarily represent what people think it means, but it's become a national holiday. People celebrate it. Right? But it's actually Resurrection Day that we should be celebrating. And this is the time that we celebrate the rising of the Savior. Is that timing correct? Not necessarily, because I don't think too many people know exactly what day he was killed on. Because it's just been lost through history, right? But if we're going to celebrate anything, I think we should celebrate Resurrection Day. Not necessarily the word Easter. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
praise the Lord. Okay, awesome, awesome. All right, I just wanted to show that to you because I'm sure a lot of people have that on their minds and kind of go, okay, is Easter real? Is this what we should be doing? So what do you think now that you've read it? And I'll ask Jackie your thoughts.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't have any thoughts on it at this point. I have to go back and read it for myself again.
Okay.
And see if I can pick up from what we talked about, and then what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. Sister Miosha, your thoughts? We can't hear you. I think you're on mute.
I'd like to go back and reread it as well, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can come
please
back to
reread
me.
It. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, please reread it. It's important because the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and in truth.
Right. And it's two things, spirit and then having some truth about it, right? So, you know, we did extensive research, my wife and I, and we did extensive research on that to try to figure out, okay, is this the right thing to do? Just like a lot of people, hey, Sister Hawanda, God bless you. Thank you for joining.
How you doing? Hi, everybody. God bless.
Yep. And so we're going to be reading from the Book of Romans. We're going to have opening prayer shortly. It's 5:40. But we were talking about the concept of Easter, Sister Hawanda, and what is it, and is it what we think it is, right? Or is Resurrection Day the right thing, right? Is Resurrection the right day, or is it Easter because that's what we've been told to call it versus that's what really, right? So we were just talking about that. So, yeah, please go read it. We were just in the book of Acts, the 12th chapter, Sister Wanda, and we read from the
first verse.
Mm-hmm. And you'll see that and if you read that, you'll see that they were actually trying to kill Peter on that day, right? And they actually called it Easter. Now, I did some research on it, and in the Hebrew and the Greek, the word Easter never appeared. Somebody put that there.
Right.
The word Easter wasn't there. The word Passover was there. Right, they
Catholic
were trying to kill him before.
Right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's why studying is also so very important, because you know we would like to take. We know that the Word of God is true. I know it because I've seen it work. You know, that's the most important part. You see it work. It does what it does. Does what he says it does. But knowing the truth from what man introduces into it is also very important, because if I have, you know how the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump?
Yes.
All right. If I were to take a journey from Madison, Wisconsin to China, and I walked, and I was off exactly 1.5 feet on my journey, right? So I drew a line from here to China, and I take off and I start walking, and I go off exactly 1.5 feet every 100 yards, I'm going to end up in New Mexico.
Wow, come on.
But I'll think I'm headed to China. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to go to, he wants us to get to our destination. Does that make sense?
Yeah, follow it
Amen.
To the T.
Follow it to the T. And know where the T ends, and somebody put a P in there. Right? That. Praise the Lord. So let's begin with prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Hawanda to open us up. We're going to the book of Romans, and we're going to start at the 12th chapter.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. That prayer is always in order. We just say thank you. We thank you. We thank you for another day, one we have never seen. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise for what you are doing and what you are about to do. Hallelujah. So I thank you for cleaning out everything that's in us, hallelujah, that's not like you, for showing us in this season, hallelujah, so we have the opportunity to get it right, hallelujah, so that we can make it in, hallelujah, that we can present our body back to you, holy, and acceptable in thy sight. Hallelujah. So I pray that you rightly divide the word on today. Hallelujah. That we not only be hearers, that we can become doers of your word, and that we can apply the word to our life and not live up to the lie that we've been told from the past. Hallelujah. That when we know better, we will begin to do better, that we will not celebrate these pagan holidays that does not line up with your will, and that you said in your word, hallelujah, that we need to study to show thyself approved. Hallelujah. So help us to seek the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding to understand your word fully and not just believe what we've been hearing from this far. Hallelujah. I pray that we will apply ourselves. Hallelujah. And as we seek the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your word, that you will send revelation. You will send an angel. You will send somebody to confirm, hallelujah, what it is that we need to know. Hallelujah. Even calling you by your rightful name. Hallelujah. That we will begin to just line it up and do exactly what you said. Hallelujah. And that we won't take that little inch of a step to the left when we should continue straight. Hallelujah. Knowing that our direction will be led off a path. Hallelujah. We want to be the children that stay on the path and go on that straight and narrow path and not be led astray. Hallelujah. So help us to surrender our whole will unto you and trust you as our personal GPS. Hallelujah. That we won't look to the left or to the right. Hallelujah. That we will focus. Hallelujah. We will stay focused in this unfocused world, and we won't be distracted with the distractions. Hallelujah. I rebuke distractions right now. Hallelujah. I ask that you remove the stumbling blocks. Hallelujah. That's been placed in our path. Hallelujah. The ones that will set us up for failure. Hallelujah. That we will have a keen spirit of discernment in this season so that we can sense and feel and hear the enemy from afar. Hallelujah. That we will use our spiritual gift that you already placed on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Yes. That we will rebuke, hallelujah, what doesn't line up with your will. We will call a thing in this season. Hallelujah. 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 But first of all, we're going to call a thing that's within us. Hallelujah. We're going to focus on ourselves and call out those things that's not in us so that we can receive deliverance, so that healing can take place. Hallelujah.
Yes,
so we can operate from a healed place. Hallelujah. Our desire is to be healed because you already said that's our portion in this season. So we receive healing. We receive deliverance. We receive our breakthrough on today. Hallelujah. And I pray right now that everybody on this line, that we open our heart, minds, and our spirit to receive everything that's going to be spoken and sent out to accomplish what it's sent out to do, because your word won't return void on today. It won't return void. Hallelujah. So we put up our spiritual antennas and say, we work on us, work on us, work on us, and we receive you wholeheartedly, knowing that we can't do nothing on our own, and we need you every step of the way in every area of our life, because we can be, you said, even the truly elect will be deceived. So let us not be the one that will be deceived. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Out of
our purpose, out of our destiny. Hallelujah. Which you have called. We press towards the mark, towards the higher calling, which is in you. Hallelujah. I pray right now that you give us strength and courage to endure to the end. You said those that endure to the end shall be saved. Hallelujah. So it's a continual walk, day by day by day. Hallelujah. Help us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. Hallelujah. There are souls that needs to be saved. There is work that needs to be done. There is, the captives need to be set free. Hallelujah. And I pray now that you equip us to do the greater work. Hallelujah. Let us not get caught up in ourselves. Hallelujah. Let us be a people that stay humble. Hallelujah. That will be intentional about giving you all the glory, honor, and praise, because we are nothing without you and we are everything with you. Hallelujah. So we just say thank you for what's about to take place on this Bible study. I thank you that it's even taking place right now. Hallelujah. That a spirit of conviction is coming forth on the inside of us. Hallelujah. For the things that we know that we shouldn't do, for the things that we know that we should put down, for the things that we know that we shouldn't say. Hallelujah. So I thank you that we are even being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. Creating us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us on today. We just say thank you. We just say thank you. We say thank you. That what's to come is better than what's been. Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
I speak our latter is greater than our former. Hallelujah. I thank you that we have the mindset to take back everything that the enemy thought he stole.
Yes,
and we're taking it back by force on today. Hallelujah. Because we are intentional about the kingdom and building disciples as your word says. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And let us be everything that we speak. Hallelujah. So that we won't be like that hypocrite. Hallelujah. Let us be.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everything that we speak.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Let our words not fall to the ground. Let it not be a lie. Hallelujah. Because we will be speaking what you said and what thus said. Yeah, in this season. Hallelujah. Not out of our emotions and our feelings.
Hallelujah.
We just want to say thank you. We just want to say thank you. We just
thank
want
you.
To say thank you.
Thank
I consider
you.
This
thing
done
and
never to
yes.
be undone. And I thank you that a seed is sown and that it's falling on
thank
good
you.
Ground. Hallelujah. And we will not leave this Bible study the way we came in. We are here with expectations on today.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can come in and have your way any way that you see fit because deliverance could take place over the phone. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Breakthrough
yes,
can take
yes,
place
Lord.
Over the phone. You
hallelujah.
Can purge us over the
yes,
phone.
Lord.
Hallelujah. So we give you permission to uproot everything in us that's not like you. Hallelujah. On today. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that
yes,
we will
Lord.
Never be the same. Oh, so my
mm-hmm.
so
yes.
we say thank you
Lord.
For what you are about to do.
Thank
you for the leader, the shepherd. Hallelujah. That you placed over us. Thank you for his wife. Hallelujah. I thank you for giving them more. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving them patience. Thank you for giving them joy. Thank you for giving them peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for the abundance that's on their life that flows from the head down. Hallelujah. So we just say
yes,
thank
Lord.
You that it's about to rain down on us. Like
hallelujah.
Thank
hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. And it is so. In your son's mighty name. In your son Yahshua's mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Well, so let's start here because it's interesting that Sister Hawanda in her prayer touched on something that the Lord had just spoke to me right before we came into this Bible study. And he said, you need to explain to people what it is I've got you doing. What I've got you doing, why are we reading the whole book of Romans? Why are we not just talking about how good God is and, you know, God is going to fix it. Just hold on. Just be patient. Trust in the Lord. You're going to heaven because we know we're going there, right? You are going to heaven.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You're going to go to a place with streets paved in gold. You're going to see a mansion. You're going to receive those things. But in the meantime, in between time, we're still here. And because we're here, there's something that the Lord wants us to do. So he said, explain to them what it was. And Sister Hawanda hit it right on the head, and it's in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, because he had just told me, and I'm telling you, he just told me, you need to read this so people know the difference between this Bible study and what other Bible studies are trying to do. I can't speak to them because I'm not in those Bible studies, but I do know what he gave me to do. And this is it. You ready? Matthew 28:19-20. He says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded of you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of this world. And so, what are we doing in this Bible study? What is the New Covenant Church of Christ Bible study really about? It's about making disciples of men and women. And he uses the word specifically men. However, just as we were talking about the word Easter, that word men came from the word anthropos, which is mankind. It's anthropology, where we get that word from, anthropology. It comes from the word anthropos, mankind. So he said, go out into the world and teach mankind, right? Mankind. Male, female, children, doesn't matter. Teach them something. And so the reason that we're going back to this, the reason that we read the whole scripture is so we are not going to be confused. Now, you may not understand it all. Sometimes it's like, you know how you get people that say they read the Bible, they fall asleep because they can't even stay up when they read, right? It's real difficult for them. That is because Satan is trying to keep you from getting the knowledge that it takes for you to become successful, powerful, glorifying God all the rest of your days, changing your family, changing the atmosphere on your job, changing the atmosphere at your business, changing the atmosphere in your world, changing the atmosphere in the community you're in, changing stuff. Satan makes you go to sleep because he doesn't want you to have knowledge.
Somehow.
And so I do what I'm doing because the Lord told me, get the knowledge of me and the people, not just your philosophies, not just your revelation. The people need their own revelation. That's why he said in latter times, your young men will dream dreams. Your young women will prophesy. It's time for some prophecy to come out.
Hallelujah.
It's time for you to have some vision. It is time. And that only comes when we absorb the very word of life that he's given us so we actually can walk into any situation. And when soon as you get in, and this is the other thing that Sister Wanda said, soon as you get in that situation, if you got enough word in you, the word will discern the situation and give you a solution for the problem. But if you don't have the word, then you have to discern out of what you already have. And if what we already had was sufficient, there would be so much fruit on our tree, we feed nations. And so if there's not enough fruit, the word of God becomes the fruit produced. So did everybody get what I just said? I put a lot of words in there. But what I'm trying to tell you is that with the word of God in you, and most people can witness to this. They'll come to me and say, you know, Pastor Monroe, this is happening and that's happening. And when they're talking, I'm hearing the word of God speak to me spiritually as they're telling me about the problem they're dealing with. And by the time they finish, God has produced a word on how to fix it. He'll produce, and I'll be able to say to them, I won't have to talk to him about the problem. Let's
come on.
Here's how you fix that. And so, and that is the word of God doing his job in me. It's not me being some super wise, you know, old sagacious wise man. It is the word of God that is wisdom within itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one problem, not one circumstance, and not one situation that any of us are going to ever go through that the Bible hasn't seen. Your God has seen it. And he wrote about it in this book so you would have the solution when you saw the problem. This is why this is why Solomon could say, really, there's nothing new under the sun. There's a time to heal. There's a time to kill. There's a time to... He begins to express himself in that manner. Why? Because he was trying to say, God has seen it all already. And there's nothing that's ever going to happen in your lifetime that God has not already experienced through some other generation of people that he didn't say, okay, I'm going to put that in the Bible so they'll know exactly what to do.
That's why
we read the whole book. Does that make sense?
Praise the Lord.
So for some, it may seem like, wow, I don't really even understand all the things that I'm getting out of this. So while we're reading the whole thing, I really just want to talk about one or two things. But the word itself is a seed. And if you read it, it is germinating your heart, even though you don't know it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The word of God. How do I know it's a seed? Because my Bible says that his word cannot return to him void, which means if it's planted, it has to grow.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
It has to grow. And so all I have to do is get the seed in me, and then eventually somebody will come along and water that seed, and eventually God is going to produce seed out of that seed, and it's going to turn into a plant of beauty in my life.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to become content and peaceful and filled with joy. and I'm going to look at these trials, and I'll look at my tribulations, and I'll be so patient through them because I already know God is answering it, and I won't get caught up in it, and my emotions won't get struck with it, and I won't find myself sitting in a corner someplace boo-hooing because I just don't think there's a solution when I know there's not one thing that's going on in my life that didn't happen before and God dealt with it before. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So that's why we read so much, because it's the seed. It's the word. I cannot do more for you than God's word can do for you. I don't care how brilliant I get. I don't care what degree I get.
That's right.
I cannot do more for you than your God can do for you.
Hallelujah.
But you got to know he's doing it, and you got to know that he's no respecter of persons, so he's going to do it for me. And then I'm going to say the last thing, then we'll read it. Everybody okay?
Yes.
You got to know he'll do it for you. And the only way you're going to know that is when you recognize he said, I'm no respecter of persons. If I did it for Jackie, I got to do it for Hawanda. If I did it for Hawanda, I got to do it for Dewan. If I did it for Dewan, I got to do it for Jim. If he did it for Jim, he got to do it for. Now that I know that, I can patiently wait on the solution because I know he got to do it. I don't just hope he does it. I know he has to do it because he did it for somebody else. Now, we ready to read?
Yeah.
We're starting at Romans 12. I'm going to ask for some readers tonight so that I don't do all the work. Praise the Lord. Right? Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Who do I have that's a reader? Hey, Brother Arnold, God bless you. How are you?
God bless you guys. I'm all right.
Yeah.
Let me take it though, but I'm all right.
All right. Well, you will be good after this. Praise the Lord. If you're not all right, you're going to get all right. I want to, and Sister Deborah, God bless you. How are you?
God bless you. How are you? I'm blessed.
Wonderful. I want everybody to make this statement before we read. I want you to make this proclamation that I want you to make to yourself. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your spirit, but I want you to make this proclamation. I arise to the Spirit of Christ.
The Spirit of Christ.
I arise. What?
I arise.
The
Spirit of Christ.
Right? Within me.
And lives in me. Let's say it again. I arise.
I arise.
To the Spirit of Christ.
To the Spirit of Christ.
That lives in me.
That lives in me.
Let's say it again. I arise.
I arise.
To the Spirit of Christ.
To the Spirit of Christ.
That lives in me.
That lives in me.
All right. Amen. So now we're about to read. And let me tell you what you just did. That invocation by itself just said, Christ, you're in charge, because the Bible says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So what I did was I just got out of the world and got into him. I arise
Hallelujah.
To the Spirit of Christ that lives in me. Because there's also this carnal man that lives on me. And if I ain't careful, I'll be trying to deal with spiritual things in a carnal way. So I have to arise to that. I have to let that spirit be in charge. I arise to the Spirit of Christ. Oh, my God, I feel you already. I arise to the Spirit of Christ that lives in me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Are you saying I arrived, A-R-R-I-D-E-D, or I arrive, R-I-S?
Yep, R-I-S, A-R-I-S-E, I arrive.
Okay.
I am, wake up, Spirit.
I arrive,
Wake up, Holy Ghost, that's what I'm saying. Wake up, Holy Ghost. I don't want you to be asleep on me. I don't need my body in charge. I don't need my mind in charge. I need the Holy Ghost in charge so that when I read the word, I receive from what is. And it's, think of it like this. It's better to receive. If you were an ocean, you have to receive from the stream. If you were a stream, you have to receive from the brook. But an ocean, a stream, a brook, or a lake cannot receive from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there.
My body is the tree. My spirit is an ocean. And so when I rise to the spirit of Christ that lives in me, I'm saying, feed me from the ocean. Those rivers of living water can now flow inside of me. Does anybody get that part?
I need those
rivers of living water to flow. That's what we're asking him. Yes. Look, you're in charge. Now let's read. Praise the Lord. Ready? We're going to Romans the 12th chapter. We're starting at the first verse. And I'm going to ask Sister Deborah to read first, if you would. And let's read about four verses and stop there and then deal with questions or revelation.
Okay, Romans the 4th chapter.
What chapter?
We're
in Romans 12.
Romans 12.
Yes, ma'am.
Starting at the fourth verse.
No, ma'am. Read the first verse down to the fourth verse, please.
Yes, sir.
And then we'll stop and see if there's any questions.
Yes, sir. I'm getting there. I'm sorry.
No, take your time. It's all right. Right, so we're going to read tonight, family, and then we're going to let Revelation hit us because we arise to the Spirit of Christ that's in me. Right?
Well,
your Bible
12,
says, yes, ma'am, 1 through 4.
What through 4?
And then we'll stop there and we'll discuss.
All right.
Everybody ready?
Ready?
Yes.
All right, yes, ma'am.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office.
Oh my. Thank you, Sister Deborah. You read
You're
that
welcome.
Very eloquently. Yeah, some anointing in that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What is he saying? Anybody have questions? What did he just say? It's open for discussion. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Not to people, unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove this is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Man, that's a whole lot in a little bit. That's a gallon.
Yeah.
I think you're saying, Don't be worldly. Be like clay. Like clay. Yep.
Amen.
Like clay.
He is saying that. Praise the Lord. What else is he saying? Thank you, Brother DeWan.
He's telling them the type of feeling that he will receive if he don't go doing things of this world and just doing what God asks him to do. He's telling me, he's got to not be like the world and be more so like God so that he can hear him and
God accepts that besides
mm-hmm. you. Okay. Very good. Beautiful. Give me an example. Come on, let's talk examples. Remember, I arrived to the Spirit of Christ that's in me. The Holy Ghost is talking to some people on this line. We're just not talking back. Right? We're not telling other people what he's really saying. So what does he mean, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Now, go ahead, Sister Deborah.
He says, get rid of the stinking thinking and be transformed and start thinking like Christ. You think like Christ, you talk like Christ, and you act according to the word of God. Your behavior is Christ-like. Your whole mannerism is Christ-like. They call you a witch. They call you a witch. You tell them, thank you, brother. You're so nice. You're not going to go down with him, with them. You're going to stay up, and you're going to keep rising to
hallelujah.
The Christ that lives in you.
Did
everybody hear that?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah, everybody's right. Put all those thoughts together, right? Put all those thoughts together that we just heard. And now let me give you a scenario. Okay? Here's a scenario. I left out the house this morning, and I jumped in the car. I was on my way to work. And boy, just before I got to the job, I was supposed to be there at 9 o'clock. At about 8:30, my tire popped. And I called the job, and I said, oops, I'm going to be a little late. They said, okay. And I told them what happened. Then I finally get the tire fixed. I get to the job, and about 10 o'clock, somebody says, where's the report that you were supposed to have in? And I said, I still got a couple things that I need to do on it, but I get it to you as soon as I can. Then by 1 o'clock, phone rings. I pick it up. And the devil begins to speak and say, hey, your child is at school and they're acting completely up. We're thinking about suspending your child because they had a fight with somebody. And you need to get up here. We need to set an appointment to see you, or we're going to suspend your child. By the time you get, now you leave that office, you got that on your mind, you had the flat tire, you had the report that you missed getting in. By the time you get home, you're tired, you're a little frustrated, and you're hungry. And this is no food in the refrigerator. You got to go back out, and you got to go pick up some food because you forgot to stop at the store because you had too much on your mind. Are you conformed to the world?
Yes.
Absolutely. He's saying, don't fall for what the world is doing. If you really want to make this, he's saying, if you're letting the world control your emotions, and if you're letting everything that takes place, that life on life's terms, it's not like you made it, it's not like you shaped it, you didn't form it, and you're constantly sitting back, and you're in all of these emotional upheavals, frustration, depression, anxiety, anger, wrath, and you've conformed.
Yes, I'm on.
So I'm letting the world dictate who I am. Now, 6 o'clock, the same night, all this stuff's going to happen, 6 o'clock, my kid comes in, he was at basketball practice, and I want to deal with him about what happened to school. What comes out of my mouth? Did anybody hear me?
My
spouse walked in, and my spouse, knowing I know there's no food on the table, and my spouse says, what's to eat? What comes out of my mouth? Why didn't you pick up something? What comes out of my mouth? It's punished for me conforming. Because had I have stayed in the spirit, I would have been able to deal with every one of those circumstances knowing that God had a purpose and a reason for everything that happened. The flat tire happened because he was trying to prevent me from the accident that was waiting down the street on the next corner.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I missed the report because the report was not going to be necessary 2 days later. They tell me I don't need it. I need a different report now. The teacher called me because when I got to school, I found out that the teacher was the one that was abusing my child, and it wasn't my child that was in trouble. It was the teacher. Anybody listening? By the time I got home, it wasn't no food on the table because everything in the refrigerator, there was two or three things I could have made, but they were spoiled, and had I fixed that, I might have made the whole family sick. See, we don't give God the credence and the credibility to be all-seeing and all-knowing. He's there all the time, and all the time he's there. He ain't just there. He is there.
Hallelujah.
And since I know he's there,
glory
I can now accept his life on life terms for a minute and sit back and say, I don't know what the purpose was, God, but I know somehow you were being good to me. So if I keep flowing with the things that happen, I am conforming to the things and not being transformed in my thought process. Because the transference comes when I go, I got a God that knows this is happening, so he has to have a reason. If this is an attack from the devil, watch this, I want y'all to get this. If it's an attack from the devil, God is telling me I got a blessing coming on the other side. If it's he's telling me you had a blessing coming while I was doing it because I was protecting you from something you could not see coming.
Amen.
Woo, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Anybody receive that? Be ye transformed.
I receive it.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't it funny that he uses
glory to God?
I just want you to catch it. Because every word in the Bible is important. Every period in the Bible is important. Every exclamation point's important. Every colon and semicolon, they're all important. Isn't it interesting that he used the word be ye renewed?
Amen.
By the renewing of your mind, renewing of, because he knew you went through all that stress today.
Yeah.
He knows that it's on you. He knows that it's heavy. He knows that it's burdensome. He knows that it's troublesome. He knows your emotions are engaged now. And then he says, stop that mess and renew your mind.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Let me renew it. Just let me renew it. Let me just keep affirming to you, I'm here for you. Let me keep
Thank you.
I got a solution. Let me keep reaffirming. And as he reaffirms, your mind renews.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then he says, and then what he's saying in that, I want everybody to get this, please. What he's saying is that if you've let the world overwhelm you, you need to allow me to renew you.
Thank you.
When the husband comes in and says, there's no food on the table, you'll actually have the ability to say, yeah, you're right, baby, I'm sorry. You want to go to the store with me to get something, or did you need me to run and get it? Rather than, why didn't you pick it up? You should have got something. Well, now you work just like I do. Hallelujah. Because through our day, and then we're going to move on, but through our day, throughout your day, and I don't care who you are, who you think you are, right? Let no man think any higher than himself than he ought. Throughout your day, you are going to get punched. It's like being in grammar school. Somebody's going to bully you. Somebody's going to push you. Somebody's going to step on your shoes. They're going to do something to try to agitate and aggravate you. You have to know who you are, and you have to know enough about who he is So when they push, when they bully, you already know vengeance is mine. But I can't, man, I better pray for these folks, because if I don't pray for them, knowing that I'm a child of God, my daddy's going to show up on them. And if my daddy shows up, he may not be merciful right now. So I probably better pray for these folks that's despitefully using me.
Hey,
man, anybody get it?
Hey, Dad, I get it.
All right, let's go. Everybody was right. All of your answers is right. Sister Hawanda, her answer is right. Sister Debbie, your answer is right. And Sister Debbie, you really nailed it. This is about not letting the world dictate how you feel.
Hallelujah.
If you simplify, he's saying, do not let the world dictate how you feel. Don't let people have control and charge of your joy.
Yeah,
don't become no puppy.
Hallelujah.
Mm. Glory to God.
Glory.
Don't give them charge over how you
do it.
Because if you're doing that, you're conforming rather than transforming them.
Amen. That is so.
Yeah. I can guarantee you, as we get ready to read on, I can guarantee you, very few people ever call my house and hear me go, yeah, how y'all doing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm all right. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, you know, my kids. Well, you know what? The dog. Now, hold on. My lawn. I just don't have the time. I'm just so tired right now. Let me tell you what I did today. I had to go to work. I had 5 or 6 people call for counseling. I had to do this. I had 3 or 4 employees that want to quit. I got this happening and that. You'll really hear that, because I'm not going to allow them to make me conform. If you quit, you already told me God has got a better worker coming. He already told me, I'm trying to save you from having to do some extra work. Anybody listen to what I'm saying?
Then
we're not giving control of our emotions.
Nope.
Shows up. Not
Hallelujah.
Fight for your joy. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's keep reading.
Yeah.
Sister Deborah, any questions about that? Anyone?
No question. You can't let the devil take control. You can't do that.
Hallelujah.
No, we have to stay in control and keep giving God the praise, because we already know he got the answer to every one of those attacks. He
every
already
one
knows
of
what,
them.
What we need.
Glory to God.
Yes. Thank you.
Every one of them. He is in charge.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's continue to read. So we left off at verse 4. Let's keep reading 5 through 8. Or 5 through 9.
Okay.
Who's reading?
You are, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm ready.
Yep.
So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, all he means there is, if you don't believe it and don't have faith in it, you shouldn't tell people it's going to happen.
Okay. According to the proportion of faith. Or ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it. With simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Ooh, glory.
Let's stop there. Somebody tell me what they read. Let's talk about this. I rise to the Spirit of Christ in me. I rise to the Spirit. Explain the Holy Ghost. You wrote this book. You certainly know what it means.
Yes.
Right? Praise the Lord. So what did he just say? Having these gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. Whether you have prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. If it's a ministry, let us wait upon that ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting, on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do that with some simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Go ahead, Duane, I heard you.
He rushes through the Christ who lives inside of you. It comes against you is the power of Christ is living you.
Whatever that's coming at you,
you can rebuke it all. You know, they are rebuke this power of Christ. Yep.
Okay, so whatever's coming at you, you can rebuke it. You have the ability to rebuke it all. Let me read it again. Having then gifts, verse 5. So we is plural, all of us, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? We being many people and of different personalities, of different cultures, of different conceptual understandings, we being many, we're still yet one body in Christ, and every one of us are members one of another. He's saying that you all are connected.
Amen.
We're connected to the whole church.
Amen.
Not just New Covenant Church of Christ. We're connected to the whole body of Christ.
Amen.
Right? He's saying that, right? Then he said, but then you also got to recognize that you're going to have gifts that differ according to the grace that's given to us. According to the grace that's given to us. He's also saying, everybody ready for this? He's also saying to you, there's a ministry forming in you. I do not know it or not, believe in it or not. And if you don't believe in it, it'll never form. Let me try it again. Having gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether you are to prophesy, you learn to prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. Some of us don't believe we're no more than the trouble we've been going through. And I wish I could wake that spirit up in us to recognize, no, the trouble you went through is about the ministry you're going to.
Come
Hallelujah.
On. Come on. Hallelujah.
Every circumstance you've ever had, gone through, conquered in your lifetime is a lesson God has placed in you that you can minister to somebody that's going through it during their lifetime because you've already conquered it. And so you may not know how to open up the Bible and read anything. But if you realize the greater one lives in you, you'll know you can explain to someone. If you listen well, you'll hear, I've already been there. I've already done that. So now I know how to help you get through it. Great example. If I wanted to walk through the Amazon forest and I put on a white suit, it is, and I want to get to the other side of that forest, it is probably, I'm not 100% sure, by the time that I get to the other side, that suit is going to be green.
Yes.
Because I'm going to bump into every tree. I'm going to be hugging because I don't know how to get through it. However, if I go through the Amazon jungle, start on one side, I want to get to the other side, and I bring a tour guide with me who's been through it 1,000 times. I can go through with a white suit and come out on the other side with a white suit. Right? Because I got somebody that knows how to get me through cleanly. And so most of our problems, is anybody receiving this? Most of the things you dealt with in your lifetime, even though they were difficult, even though some of them were painful, and they may even still be painful if you haven't forgiven people yet, they still may be carrying too much pain for you. But once you forgive it and get rid of the pain of it, it now becomes an experience. It now becomes wisdom. It now becomes grace. It now becomes teaching. It now becomes prophesied. How does it become prophesied? Well, let's think about that for a minute. So if I went through some trouble with my girlfriend, and my girlfriend left me, or she cheated and she went with somebody else, and I'm sitting here, I'm 21 years old, and I think the world is over because me and my girlfriend broke up, and I've had that happen 20 times in my life. I'm able to tell somebody, don't worry about it, you'll have a new girlfriend in another year, because it's now a prophecy. It's now a prophecy that God has put in me because I saw it happen to me. So I can now prophesy to the circumstance, and the person goes, I feel better. Praise the Lord. Your experiences are the way God prepares you for ministry. You think your experiences, many people think their experiences have prepared them for misery. But it was really preparing you for ministry. Or else, why call you in the midst of your trials and your troubles and your tribulations? Why call you into the kingdom? If he was leaving you out there to be miserable, he might as well have left me out there to stay miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You will call me in a kingdom that's filled with joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, kindness. You called me into that kingdom for me to stay miserable?
No. Come on.
No.
It doesn't make sense. Not in any realm of the world, whether the natural and the carnal, whether the supernatural and the spirit, that doesn't make any sense. If you called me, you called me not just because I want to be saved. You called me because of what I know.
Amen.
Can you hear me? You called me because I know some stuff now, and I can use that stuff to save some other people's lives. But if I don't have any faith in what I know, according to my measure of faith, whether I believe in who I am or not. Anybody believe that there's a lot of people that just don't believe in themselves? They just don't believe in themselves. I don't have an answer. I don't know what to do. You don't know how bad this is. This is too much for me. I just wish I could roll myself up like Ella Fitzgerald used to say. I wish I could blow myself up in a great big old ball and die. Not realizing there's a living ministry inside of you. Every day. Your God is a good God. But he also knows that what was done to us, what he can do for others.
Amen.
If I allow myself just to believe in what I've learned. Praise the Lord. Anybody get it? Are we good?
Praise the Lord.
So that's why he says, so whether it's of ministry, just wait for the ministry to come out to you. It's going to happen. It's like as an example, I think we can all see this as an example. You ever been sitting with somebody and they're talking to you about something they're going through or dealing with it, and then just all of a sudden words just start flowing out of your mouth, and by the time you get through flowing them and telling them what you've been through and how God has delivered this and God did that and did this, that person feels better and you're perplexed. And the reason that you're perplexed is because after you got through talking, you knew that couldn't have been me because I ain't never been that smart.
Right.
It was you rising to the spirit of Christ that lives in you.
Yes.
It was you allowing the spirit to take over for somebody else's need. Now watch what I'm giving you. So please take this with you. If I can rise to the Spirit of Christ to help somebody else, why not rise to the Spirit of Christ to help myself?
Come on.
If I can minister to you, why can't I minister to me? Oh my God, I know somebody's getting something tonight. If I can help you, why can't I help me? If I can give you a solution, where's my solution for myself? Why is that? Because I'm losing faith in me, but having faith that God can use me to help somebody else.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Your ministry is going to show up, or he that teacheth, wait on your teaching. You just going to start teaching one day, and he that is exhorting, learn to exhort. It's going to show up, and you're going to just start telling people how beautiful they are, how wonderful they are.
Amen.
I don't feel good about myself. Yeah, you're going to be all right, though. I'm going to start prophesying, because I know I used to not feel good about myself, but I got delivered on that thing, so I can prophesy. Give yourself about a year and go do this for yourself. And watch it. Don't you feel better? Start loving on yourself and start doing it. Why? Because I can prophesy because I've been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
I can teach you. Ah. I had to teach myself how to deal with this.
Yeah.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now let's go on to verse 9. Anybody have questions on this? Does it resonate for you?
It does.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Let it resonate. That's who you are. This is what your Bible is telling you is inside of you. You're going to have some faith in it and start trusting it. And you got to open up your mouth, and he's going to say that to you in these scriptures. You'll see it in a minute. You're going to have some faith. Be willing to open up your mouth, not so that you can speak, but so that God can use you to speak.
Amen.
And open up my mouth.
Amen.
Not so that I can say something to somebody, but so God can use my lips and
that
share some things for somebody and bring them up out of something. Glory to God. Amen. All right, let's keep going. Verse 9. Sister Deborah? I'm going to read a reading on you. I said we're going to read around, but you're doing such a great job. I hope nobody minds. I'm going to leave it right in your hands.
All right. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and preferring one another.
Stop right there. Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to reread it. I want everybody to listen to it. Remember, I rise to the Spirit of Christ in me. Get your revelation. Here he goes. He says, verse 9, let your love be without dissimulation. Somebody tell me what that means. What's dissimulation? Let's break that word down first.
Hypocrisy.
Okay. Let's keep going. Got a very specific meaning. Dissimulation. Let your love be without dissimulation. Anybody else? Anybody want to look it up? Let's look it up.
Trickery.
When I say this, you'll know I'm telling you. With what?
Trickery?
Dismantling?
Say it again?
I said dismantling or to take down.
Dismantling or to take down. Listen to what I said.
Yes.
Dismantling or to take down. Dewan said trickery. What'd you say, Sister Hwanda?
Hypocrisy.
What the word dissimulation means leads to that result from love. Let me say it again. What the word actually, dissimulation, the word, and I want somebody to look it up so that you can share it with us. What the word dissimulation means is that if you don't do it this way, even your love can look like hypocrisy.
Yes.
Your love can hurt and harm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we think of love as being kindness all the time, right? being, come on. But watch what the word dissimulation actually means. Somebody read it, please. Anybody look it up? You want me to look it up for you?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Let me do it according to Webster's.
Yeah, that's what I do. The dictionary.
Yeah, because we've got some awesome Bible students on this line, and if you're part of New Covenant Church of Christ Bible study, you're a studier. Because we must get this, right? We must. So here it is. Dissimulation refers to the act of hiding one's real feelings, character, or intention. Now let me read it. Let love be without hiding your real feelings, your character, or your intentions. Then hate what's evil. Right? So how do I hide my character and my feelings? Because we can have people around us and they cutting up. And we'll go, and they'll go, how did that do? You did all right.
Mm-hmm.
But in your heart, you're saying, that was terrible. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have done it. That's dissimulation.
Right.
That's why Paul makes this statement. Amen. Everybody get that? That's dissimulation.
Yes.
And then I'll give you an example. So here we go. Paul says this, right? And I want you to get this. I want you to write it down, please. This is going to take you a long way, believe it or not. It'll take you, it'll take you to the highest heights of your comfortability as a believer.
Hallelujah.
It's Ephesians 4:5. Right? Ephesians 4:5. Let's go all look at it for a minute, then we'll come back. Ephesians 4:5.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be two books down. Three, four books down.
Okay, let me get it. Ephesians.
Are you getting anything out of tonight's Bible study? Is this anybody receiving anything?
Yes, sir.
It's a revelation. Because when we understand what the word is saying, you employ it in your life, it is going to work. It is going to work. And it'll help my mind to transform, because once I see two or three things that God said work, I'm looking for all of it to work, and I'll get deeper into that Bible. But if I don't ever see anything work, I'll stay conformed instead of transformed. I'll stay conformed. Does that make sense? Ephesians 4:15. Here it is. Watch what it says. I should read 14:2. Ephesians 4:14-15. That we henceforth be no more like children. Tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men. And their cunning craftiness. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So. We need to speak the truth in love. Right? Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Amen.
Now, let's go back to Romans. Amen. Go back to Romans.
Amen.
Jesus said, he's saying, you have to learn, we have to, as believers, we have to learn how to correct an issue without judging the person. Because it's the judgment that's in my heart that I'm hiding.
Yes.
Now, that didn't sound good at all. That was terrible. I'll give you a perfect example of it. Sunday, we had service. We had two worship songs that we were going to do. One of the songs had a certain timing to it. And while we were just kind of mingling and co-mingling before service, I forgot that timing. And I was playing the guitar, and I knew nobody else knew the timing. So I ended up going to play the song, and I ended up playing the song slow. when it should have been at a fast tempo. The praise team leader turned around and looked at me and said, let me speed it up. And I tried to speed it up a little bit. And then one of the other sisters turned around and came and said, okay, let's just stop and start all over again. And I said, praise the Lord. And then by the time she said that, the tempo came back to me and we were right on target. Praise the Lord, right?
Hallelujah.
But then on Sunday, after service, I put a message in the chat, group chat for the praise team. And I said, that first song didn't go too well. But the second song was amazing. The Holy Spirit came, took over. It was just amazing. But on that first song, I apologized because I missed the timing. So I was able to speak the truth in love. I could have sat back and said, this might hurt somebody's feelings if I say this didn't go too well. That didn't go too well. But the love part says I need to tell the person the truth.
Yeah.
In a way that they can receive that truth. And I said, this will take you a long way if you get it, right?
Yeah.
Because to hide my feelings, more often than not, people already know the truth about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to hide my feelings tells them I'm blind to who they really are. That you need. If my son or my children are doing something wrong, and I don't say this is wrong, I can say I'm going to live with it. I know it's going to take you some time to grow through it. How do I help you grow through it? But what I can't say is you're perfect.
Amen.
Come on, Ray. Right.
Anybody hear me?
Amen.
Yes.
It's not healthy. And so then it helps. Now go back to all the other words that were said when I asked what it meant, and it leads to those things. They become unhealthier because they were really looking for you to tell them the truth, and what you did was said something nice. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I didn't want to hurt their feelings. You didn't have to hurt their feelings. You needed to help them with their feelings. No, it was bad. Did you feel like it was bad? Right? Well, no, it couldn't turn out good, son. But it's okay. Let's work on it. Let's see what we can do to enhance it and make it better for the next time. Should we study some things and look at some things? Now we are helping people.
Yeah.
Right?
Mama. Yeah.
But there's how would you feel about me? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This goes back to what I was speaking to you about earlier, with how the Holy Spirit rolled off my tongue today, yesterday. And it goes right back to that. But I didn't tell you that the Holy Spirit also told me that my purpose for Him taking over my tongue was to put the word out there that He gave me to change society.
Yeah.
He wants society to get away from this very thing we're speaking on right now.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what this is for. He wants people to stop using the term "I feel you."
Mm-hmm.
If somebody in our audience said that while we were talking
at your church,
in this church that we're having now as a discussion. So the word is out there in everybody's vocabulary. I feel you, or do you feel me? You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't want us using that sentence.
Terminology, right?
That's why that's why He took it from me, because I could have responded, yeah, I feel you. but he had me to respond with, I know you. Yeah, I know you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank
that was
you,
my, that was just, you don't feel nobody.
Amen. Mm.
You feel you, but you don't feel nobody else. Nobody else feels like another person.
Amen.
You are an individual.
Amen.
And that's what that's what he wants me to tell him.
Come on.
I used it. I hesitated, but I used it.
Because
I had to come out with what he told me to say.
I think it's so important that we learn how to speak the truth in love. Now, it may not be easy at first, but we have to learn how to speak the truth in love. You know, somebody comes up to me. I had a man say to me, and I know he didn't mean any harm. I know he didn't. But I don't know, maybe he was testing me. I don't know what it was, but it was probably about 10 years ago. And we just finished up church, and the guy was in the pews. He was sitting in one of the seats, and he came up and he walked past me. He said, that was a wonderful message, pimpin'. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm sorry, what'd you say? He said, that was a wonderful message. I said, no, the other part. He said, pimpin'. I said,
pimpin'.
Right? Because I didn't know. And let me explain it.
Oh, my
Because
goodness.
He has so much carnality on him.
Yes.
And he had been in some ministries where the men were not necessarily sincere. Or maybe they were sincere and still yet carnal, and that worked with them. And I said,
wow.
I said to him, brother, I'm first off, let me tell you, speak the truth in love. I'm so glad you're here. And I thank God if you got something out of the message.
Yeah.
But please don't ever call me pimpin' ever again in your life.
Amen.
And he left out. He said, "Oh yeah, I got you." And he left out. And he's been in the church almost ever since. And he said something to me one day. He said, because I brought it back up to him. I said, "Remember you said this about this many years ago?" And he turned around and said to me, "He said, yeah. He said that was when the Spirit got me." He said, "Because your reaction let me know how sincere." He said, "I've said that to a lot of other men that were pastors." And not one of them rebuked me for it.
Woo!
Anybody get it?
Yeah.
He said, not one of them ever rebuked me for it. Words are important.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Words
yeah.
need to be carefully extrapolated out of our mouths and carefully thought through before they come out of the mouth. Because if they're not, a word can encourage and a word can kill.
Yeah.
A word can give life and a word can take a life. And as the people of God, and we'll move on after this, but I just want to make sure we get this. As the people of God, God called us to excellence. Now, don't get me wrong. I came from, my sister's on the line, Jackie, my sister's on the line. I came from the world that I had all the slang nailed down that you could have. All of it. There was nothing. I said those words that were said to me before. I've said some other words too, thinking, you know, this is how you talk, because we're all caught up in this vortex of oppression as a people. And this is how we deal with that oppression, that feeling, so that we can make each other feel comfortable. When I got saved, the Lord said, get rid of that mess. Be renewed.
Come on.
Be renewed.
Yes. Be renewed. Yes.
You can't conform. I need you to transform. And the only way you're going to transform is let me renew your mind. And then the renewing of the mind process, the first thing he had to let me do was to hear my own curse words. That's when he began to renew my mind. Because I was still cursing at that stage probably a couple of weeks. And I sat in the back of my car. Somebody was playing some gospel music. God is just, he's an amazing God. Somebody was playing some gospel music. I was riding in the back, and I used the M and the F acronym word. And they didn't say a word to me. I just said the word. The gospel music is playing, and for the first time as an adult, or since I started cursing, I actually heard how nasty the word sounded.
Yeah.
It was common language while I was conformed. It stopped being common once you become transformed. And so as soon as I said it, it hit me like I felt dirty.
Yeah.
And I and didn't curse after that. It was gone. Desire.
Yeah. Yeah.
The need to express myself in that manner. Once he took those words out of my mouth, the next thing he did was he had to expand my vocabulary, because I'd been using four-letter words the majority of my life to express every feeling and every emotion that I had. So I didn't know how to express those emotions, because I didn't know the names of those emotions. And so he made me begin to study what I feel and what the word, right word for that feeling is. And next thing I knew, I had an expanded vocabulary. And then once he expanded my vocabulary, I found myself, like the Bible says, you were meant to be seated in heavenly places. And I found myself around people with higher degrees.
Glory
masters and trying to tell him how he works. And I found myself in these arenas now, because I could now communicate an idea in a way that people could actually see my intelligence that had been hidden, because I was so carnal, all I knew how to do was project feelings. And when I got rid of the carnality, when the Lord started giving me some spiritual insight, I can now project my thoughts, my emotions. I knew the difference between being mad and just being angry. I knew the difference between being disappointed and I'm ready to fight. I started learning the difference between anxiety and frustration. I started learning the difference between I'm just a little excited or I'm scared. Because we're called into excellence, right? And so God is doing everything he can for us to make us excellent, because as an ambassador,
yeah,
God, he wants you to be able to go amongst anybody at any time, and that your witness will allow you to speak the truth to them in love, and you can tell them, yeah, I used to be like that. I see exactly why you're saying that, because I remember feeling that, but I'm telling you how God had to show me how wrong it was. Now, I'm going to show you this. I ain't going to tell you you're doing it, but I'm going to say, when I was doing what you were doing, it caused my kids to be frustrated. Caused my wife to hate me. It caused this to happen. And that was all because I was going out all night hanging out at the bar with my boys, right? Because I thought my boys were more important than my wife and my kids. And so you begin to learn to express those thoughts, and now you can speak the truth in love.
Amen.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's keep reading. It's almost 7 o'clock, so let's kind of read through and see how much more we can get out of this. Where were we at, Sister Deborah?
We stopped at 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's keep reading.
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another.
Preferring one another. Mm-hmm.
Verse 11 says, not slothful in business.
That means you should have one.
Uh-huh. Servant.
Did you hear that?
Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Serving the Lord. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
How fast should we go to prayer?
Instant.
All right, go ahead.
And verse 13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And verse 14 says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not.
Oh, did you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Amen for honesty. You said that's not easy, huh?
That's right. That's not easy.
Bless them with persecution, you and bless and curse not. Now, I think we'll end here today. Please write that down. Sister Deborah, I want you to be back next week so you can read again, please, because this is really, you're doing a great job. Praise the Lord. Like, everybody say praise the Lord. Everybody
praise
say praise the Lord.
Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So we're going to end on bless them which persecute you, right? Bless and curse not. What I'm getting ready to say to you is probably common knowledge with all of us, but we don't think about it much. And that is, there's a big difference between cursing and cussing.
Amen.
Cussing are the four-letter words that show up sometimes in our vocabulary when
that spirit passes over,
right?
Yes,
cursing
sir.
Is when I'm speaking death over your life, even if you ain't by me. So I'm sitting at home saying, she ain't no good, she's so terrible. So that cursing, whereas a four-letter word is a cussing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I speak, remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Because yeah, we're going to close right there. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Say, I rise to the Spirit of Christ that lives in me. All right, here we go. Yep, you ready for this? Here we go.
Yes.
Demons know their environments. That's what we're going to close
with.
Cursing and cussing. Demons know the environments they belong in. When I use my words to curse someone, it brings about spirits that are negative that know what I did, and you feel that vibe even all around you. A man and a woman gets into an argument. Example, man and a woman gets into an argument. They done screamed and yelled at the top of their young lungs. They've almost gotten to the place of throwing blows on one another. That vibe stays in the house so strongly, somebody else can walk in the house and say, oh, I'm leaving out of here. Y'all got too much stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Anybody listening? Because you drew some spirits to you that should not have been there, because your mouth, they heard you speak. How did they hear me? Because your Bible says Satan is the prince of the air. And since he's the prince of the air, he hears everything spoken. Your Bible also says God is the discerner of the thought and the intent of your heart, which means he can read your mind. You don't even have to talk for God to know what you want. You have when you talk, you're involving the atmosphere, and the atmosphere involves all the spirits that live in the atmosphere. If I say something funny, I draw the spirit of laughter. If I say something negative, I draw the spirit of anger. If I say, anybody getting this? Careful about the cursing. And now watch this. Your Bible also says, because the same measuring stick that you're using is being measured back onto you. While I'm cursing, I'm also cussing myself.
Amen.
That's why it's different people who despitefully use you. because he knows that in that despitefully using mode, it brings that anger, it brings that emotion to that level. But he's saying, control yourself.
Yes. Look.
Control yourself. Know who you are. Know who you are. And then learn to speak blessings over their life, because on the contrary, there's always two sides to a coin, right? There's a heads and a tail. If I cuss you, I cuss myself. If I bless you, I bless myself. Anybody get it?
Yes, sir.
If I bless you, even when you're hurting me, I am blessing myself, because God knows I'm so much larger than the mess that the enemy threw at me. Now God goes, now I got to send a blessing their way, because they blessed somebody that they really had the right to be angry with, and they turned around and found a way to involve me by blessing them and speaking a decent word over their life. Now I can come and do something decent in your life. Life is in the kingdom. And we'll close on this. The kingdom is about reciprocity. I want everybody to get this.
It's
about reciprocity. God is a reciprocal God.
Jesus says,
those that love me will keep my commandments. Right?
Yes.
John 14, chapter 24, verse. Those that love me will keep my commandments. But then watch what he says right after. He says, and then my Father will send the Holy Ghost in my name.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost will come and teach them in all things and bring back to their remembrance everything that I've already spoken. It's the reciprocity of God. If I keep the commandments, I'm going to get then receive the Holy Ghost. I have
Hallelujah.
To there's reciprocity. That's
Hallelujah.
He says, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Goodness, pressed down, taken together, running over will men give unto you.
Hallelujah.
It requires me to take the action and plant the seed so that he can water it from heaven and grow it in the earth. He says, men will give into your bosom. He says, say, I'm going to drop money out of heaven, out of the cloud. I'm going to make, he's saying, when you learn how to give, you are opening up the giving that produces your own blessings. The reciprocity is going to kick in. At some point, I'm going to have to bless you for blessing them. At some point, anybody get it?
I got it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I think we'll close this. Say, I rise to the Spirit of Christ in me. One more time.
I rise to the Spirit of Christ in me.
Amen. Father, we do thank you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Just as your people spoke, they're rising to the Spirit of Him that filleth all things according to your word. Let us be filled tonight. Let us be filled with the positive mindset of the Holy Ghost. Let us not be conformed. Let us be transformed. Let us not keep succumbing to everything that comes against us, but let us be let us stand above what comes against us, knowing that you're with us, because you promised you'd never leave us, nor would you forsake us. And now that we know that, let us not be conformed, but let us be transformed. There's a renewing taking place in our minds. There's a renewing taking place in our hearts.
There's an awareness taking place
that the greater one lives on the inside. Mm-hmm. There's a renewing taking place inside of us. Let us be renewed into the fullness and the power and the glory of the Godhead. One Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Let us be renewed in such a way, God, that no man, no demon, no imp, no spirit, no family member, no forward-looking individual in our life is going to ever be able to steal our joy again.
You can't steal
our happiness again.
You can't put me in a corner by myself no more.
Because I got a God that is reciprocal. If I do what he asks, he'll do what he says. If I do what you ask, he'll do what you said.
Hallelujah.
If you do what you ask, you'll do what you said. So, Father, let us be by that renewing. We glorify you tonight. We thank you for the seed that you planted in us through your word. We're asking that we do not be just hearers, but we become doers. that we can bless the folks that's cussing us. We can go against the enemy, knowing that you are with us in every trial, tribulation, battle, and war that we step into. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is not a man that he should lie, and that he is not the son of man that he should repent. So we know every word in this book to be true.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we ask that you bless Brother DeJuan with continual strength in his legs, so that as he's coming out of the wheelchair, that he'll be able to stand longer. He'll be able to declare that he is a child of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
We ask that you bless Sister Harunda, that her business is your business, and your business is her business. We ask you to bless us tonight in a way that we have not been blessed in a long time.
Bless us with a clear conscience.
Bless us with a clear mind. We're asking that you continue to bless Sister Deborah, because they told her that she wasn't going to make it. But you said you shall live and you shall not die.
And we thank you, Father, through what the doctor said she couldn't be kept through.
We thank you. I ask that you bless my sister, Jacqueline Abrams. Father, drop new life and new hope and new goodness to her body so that she can take on the challenges that come with her circumstance, so we can give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor that you richly deserve. We stand an awesome God, and we rose up to the spirit of heaven that filleth all things. So if we're filled with you, then the enemy is going to be angry and scared at us. And so we need to step through it with a confidence.
That we are the children of the Most High God.
Yahweh, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
We ask that you bless the old child and her family, Father. Thank you, Father. She's here. She's quiet, but we ask that you continue to move in her life. Continue to do what you're doing with her children. They're turning into great young men and women of God. Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing. Hallelujah. Thank you. We still have some life that is glory to your name. Hallelujah. Nobody ever fixed it, but you fixed it. How wonderful, how marvelous, how glorious. You are strong power. You are the prince of peace in our life. And we thank you for getting up out of the grave.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. We give you all the honor. Hallelujah. Glory. We give you the praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. 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 Thank you.
We all join together. Your shout is my shout. My shout is your shout. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God. I love you all. Love you with the love of Christ. And sincerely mean it. An evangelist, she's here inside of the house, and she's over there jumping and shouting for everybody and with everybody.
Hallelujah.
One body.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank
my sister
love
does
you
well.
All.
I'm doing well. Love you, too. My sister,
Hallelujah.
We'll see you in church probably on Sunday.
Yes.
We love you.
Yes.
Good night, everyone.
We love
good night.
Love
you
everyone.
All. Love you.
Love you all.
Good night. Stay fired up. Stay on fire. Stay on fire. Don't conform.
Right.
Stay on fire. Stay on fire. Don't conform.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Can I ask a question before we close?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask if there are anybody in, is there anybody in the congregation that is a caregiver or knows a caregiver?
Let me ask Yvette. Hey, hon. Sister Deborah asks, is there anybody in the congregation that is a caregiver or knows a caregiver?
I'm a caregiver, but I'm in South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Praise God. We got somebody in the congregation.
Yeah. Amen.
We will check on it on Sunday. So call me on Sunday evening, and we'll have an answer for you. All right? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
God bless everyone.
All right.
You're welcome.
God bless everyone.
Love you all.
Love you all, Pastor. Love you, Evangelist. And we'll see everybody next time.